what's up, you guys? Welcome back to your local Brown Girl podcast. I'm Aisha.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Kennedy.
And you are listening to a fun, fresh, new episode with new guests besides Natalie. She's been on here so many times, it's kind of sickening at this point. Oh. Kennedy, introduce yourself.
So I'm Kennedy. I just graduated high school.
And that's her only personality trait. Sophia?
I'm Sophia. I graduated high school as well.
And that's all you need to know about them. as you know, I'm brown. Oh, okay. Kennedy's kind of scared of cats. I don't know. She's feeling out her situation with my cat, Luna. So if you ever hear someone, like, getting their face scratched off, that's what that is. I'm brown, as we know by the name of the podcast. Natalie is white, as we know by her name. But Kennedy and Sophia, their races are ambiguous. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, who are you? They don't know. It's just audio. Kennedy's black. Sophia?
I'm white.
Sophia's white. Kennedy's black. I'm brown. Natalie's white. We can move on now. I have black friends. I was doing an episode and it was very controversial because I just say stupid things sometimes, but then, like, I don't realize how stupid they are. So I was just saying something and I was like, well, then we should just get slavery back. And, like, I just said that. But, like, it wasn't like an obviously, I don't think slavery is good. That's a clear. And then I was like, no, guys, it's okay. I have black friends. And then everyone just looking at me and I was like, guys, that was a joke. Obviously, you can't make slavery jokes just because you're black. But anyways, I just want you to know.
That's like when you say something like, not to be racist, but, and then you say something racist.
I'm dating a black guy. I'm not dating a black guy.
Oh my god, I just saw.
So, let's talk about interracial friendships. Kennedy and Sophia, when did you guys meet?
So, we met in 7th grade,
and I thought Sophia was a total bitch.
Oh,
but here we are. 5 years.
But okay, you know why? The reason she thought I was a bitch?
Because you were being a bitch.
No.
Yes.
I was not.
Yes.
I was the only person who actually would.
Sorry, Sophia had to talk to her mom. Anyhow.
Yes. So, as I was saying.
Why do you think she was a bitch?
The reason Kennedy thought I was a bitch was not because
I was actually being
a bitch. It was because I was the only person who actually ever argued with her
or like called her out
and then just accept her opinion for how it was, like, not that I would say her opinion is wrong or anything, but everyone, I feel like, in seventh grade just kind of went along with what anyone would say.
Yeah
And I was just kind of like,
fake news.
Well, I have an opinion too. Then she was like,
it was before people started forming their own, like, point of views and thought processes.
I just thought her opinion was invalid, so I just didn't like her.
Natalie thought I was a terrorist when we first met.
Oh. To be fair, she told me she
wasn't a terrorist. I told you I wasn't a terrorist.
We told them. I can tell it again.
I walked into class. I walked in, saw Natalie, nice, happy little girl, and I was like, hey, what's up? My name's Aisha. Don't worry, I'm not a terrorist. You know, something a person who's not a terrorist would say. And then she went home, told her mom, and her mom was like, that sounds like something a terrorist would say. Like, okay, Susan, and what did I do to you? I thought you were cool. But anyhow,
I was sitting there, I was a little nervous, because the first day, and I was by myself, and then she walks in, and boom, I was like, what?
And she didn't talk to me for like a month. And then
I was scared.
So when was this?
Eighth grade. Yeah. And then we went to like a movie one time, and then we were just best friends after that. Bro, you really got a name drop. It was with Isabel Madden, and we don't really talk to her anymore. She seems like she's living her life though.
Yeah.
She posts a lot of pictures. Like, you know, the swipey things? She just posts like all 10.
Isabel, if you're hearing this, we love you.
And it's always just of her. Well, I mean, I don't really have an opinion on her. So I wouldn't say I love her, but I really doubt, if you're listening, like, I'm sure you're fine. I'm not saying you're bad, I'm just saying you post a lot of pictures.
So anyway.
But to be fair, have you seen my Instagram? Like, who am I to judge literally anyone? Anyways.
Did it take you all 7th grade to actually like me?
Oh, it took 8th grade, too.
And I
So he was like, oh, wow, so
like at the end of 7th grade, I was like, okay, she's not that bad. But I was like, I'll probably never see this bitch again.
Yeah.
And then 8th grade
you
comes.
You still thought she was a bitch.
And 8th grade friends. Comes, and she's and it's like, oh, you guys are in the same Spanish class. And I'm like, well.
And band.
And band.
So I was you like, guys in band?
Trumpet.
Oh my god.
Guess who else did a trumpet?
Sam.
Oh, never mind.
Sam's I was talking about interracial things. He's white.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. That. Well, how are they supposed to know that? Sam's her boyfriend. He's white.
He is.
They're breaking up soon.
To be determined, actually.
No!
No!
Uh-oh.
No.
Oh, my God. You were supposed to break up, like, 4 months ago!
Things have gotten complicated. Aisha isn't
really...
I don't like Sam.
Things have gotten complicated.
I've never
complicated.
Met him. I've never seen him. I don't like him.
Things have gotten complicated, Aisha.
Anyhow, have you guys ever gotten in, like a situation where it was, like, you realized that you guys were, like, of different races and, like, kind of, like, actually integrated into your relationship? Or, like, did other people look at you or maybe your parents?
I don't... We've never had
not that. Not totally normal?
No, we've
dude,
never
me and Natalie
had
have
that.
Had the
yeah.
opposite experience.
So, like, the only thing that I would say is, like, I did have a couple, I don't remember who it was anymore, but there was one person who, when I was hanging out with Kennedy, it was when, like, Ty and Amaya and Morgan, like when they were all here, they're all black, by the way. I was hanging out with all of them, and I had someone say to me, like, you're friends with all of them?
Anna,
like, yeah, I'm friends with all of them. But not in, like...
Like a
condescending
way.
Way.
Yeah, like a derogatory...
Right. I think it was just more of just, like, an impulse kind of thing.
Yeah, I get it. No, I know what you mean.
Not that that's, like, an excuse for it, but still at the
yeah.
same time.
Still,
like,
it's... You can only control, like... You can't control your first thought. You can only control, like, what you interpret from that.
Yeah.
Like, if you see someone and you're like, oh, they're fat, they need to lose weight, that's your first thought. Like, that's not... But what actually determines who you are is what you do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go up to someone and you're like, you're fat, you're ugly, then that's like, ugh. But if you go up to someone and you're like, oh, I really like your shirt, you look really cute, like... That's how I interpret
yeah.
it, because whenever I hear yeah. someone, they're like, well, that's just the way I was raised, like, down in the South, white people and black people, I'm friends, like, that's, first of all, not a thing, that's, like, where are we, this is not the Confederacy, get with it, Lincoln did not tell y'all on time, but he told y'all eventually, okay, so get with it, but then, like, if it is your way of thinking, I was born in a third world country, like, my mom barely got an education, like, there's a million Malalas in the world, my mom is one of them, and now she's, like, a nurse practitioner, and she doesn't, like, judge people just because she came from another country, mm-hmm. so, like, if we can alter our way of thinking, then why can't you? Because, like, okay, mine and Natalie's relationship, obviously it's not based solely on race, but we've had interactions, because... I think the difference between that is your family, like, Kennedy, your family speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. like, that's not really, like, a problem. But
no.
My family speaks Urdu, and Natalie obviously speaks English. And it's not, like, a problem because most of my family speaks English besides my grandma. And, oh, my God, seeing Natalie talk to my grandma is the funniest but also the cutest thing ever. It is, like, she just walks up and she's, like, my grandma's, like, hi. And Natalie's, like, hello. And then she, like, starts speaking in Urdu to, like, do you want something to eat or anything? And Natalie's like, hello. It's really funny, but...
Also, I kind of did the same thing when I met your grandma for the first time.
Yeah, because, like,
yeah.
she looks like a really sweet old
yeah,
lady.
Yeah,
so
I just
want to
say
like,
hi.
She is.
Yeah.
And then, well,
yeah.
no, she's not. She's kind of a bitch, but, like... but, like, she, like... But she, like, talks to people in Urdu, and it's, like... I used to be, like, embarrassed of it, because in eighth grade, like, my friend group... all Caucasian all the time, and they were all like the really popular girls, and they were all cheerleaders, and I just really really wanted to fit in. And I remember there was only like two brown guys in that group, like Abji and Sham, like that
they
was
were both,
it assholes
yeah.
they were literally the worst, like
they
made me they feel
really
terrible
were.
About myself. And then there was no brown girls in that group. I was the only brown girl,
yeah,
like not the only black girl, not the only girl of color.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just two, like, and then there was like what, Jonathan, like there wasn't any like people of color in that friend group. And I was never like the pretty like white cheerleader. I was always like the funny like fat brown girl who like would crack jokes, but like you'd never have a crush on her. And
mm-hmm.
so that was weird when like they would come over and I'd, like, my grandma would try to talk to them and I'd be like, no. Because, like, I didn't want them to think I was weird because, like, my grandma didn't speak English. Or we have this alarm clock and it does the call to prayer and we pray 5 times a day. Well, Muslims pray 5 times a day. And it is loud and we've had it my entire life. And the call to prayer is in Arabic, so whenever people would come over, and, like, I would look at the time and make sure that, like, they would be up before, like, anything happened, before they heard it. But... I think that's just part of the insecurity of being in middle school. So, like,
mm-hmm.
being friends with Natalie, like, really opened my eyes to, like, what it felt like to be accepted. Because she didn't care about my weight. Like, I felt comfortable finally with someone going to, like, a dressing room and, like, changing in front of them and, like, showing someone and being like, this is, like, what my body looks like when I'm not covering it with, like, really baggy clothes. Or having someone come over and, like, smell my Pakistani food. She loves my mom's food, like, oh my God, more than me. So whenever she comes over, she's like, is your mom cooking? Like, and just having someone care to, like, interact with my parents and interact with my grandma. And, like, my dad, when we were putting up lights just now, like, today's the last day of Ramadan. When I upload this, it'll probably be, like, a couple weeks from now. But, like, my dad saw him, and he was like, how are you doing, Beta? And Beta means, like, kid, like, son or daughter in Urdu. And I was like, you don't even talk to me like that, so. So I think, like, it's been really eye-opening in that way. But also, like, when we go on family trips, like, we went to Tennessee summer of eighth grade, and my parents were, like, screaming at me in Urdu, and Natalie was just, like, standing there, like,
I sit on the couch, I'm just like, what's going on?
Or, like, if my parents, like, are treating me a certain way, it's just because, like, I was raised a different way, or if they're, like, more strict about something, it's, like, harder for you to understand, but you still, like, make the effort to understand it.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah,
I think I understand it. It's just, yeah, like, it's, I'm not used to that.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So, like, I feel like I have to explain it more, but, like, with my brown friends, like, Yamha, like, mm-hmm, she understands immediately if I'm, mm-hmm, like, oh, my mom's mad because, like, I'm not praying right now. Like, so there's, like, kind of that buffer that you need to jump over, but I think also public perception. Because, mm-hmm, I don't know if people have said anything to your face, but I know people definitely say stuff, used to say stuff about me and Natalie because, like, I would always make that joke and be like, I'm the brown one, and let's make an Oreo. But, like, now it's, like, it's normal. But, yeah.
I've, like, experienced that a lot more with, like, Sam than Sophia.
Like, dating someone rather than being friends.
Like, yeah, like, because when people, like, let's say we have a racist, right? If they look at you and you're, like, you're friends with the white person, it's, like, okay. But then when, like, you're dating someone of a different, mm-hmm, race, a lot of people are still, like, you don't date outside your race.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, I've
My
had,
parents
like,
are like that.
Yeah. So, like, I've had a lot of experiences, and, like, even my mom, like, when I brought home a white boy, she was like, a white boy, really? And she loves Sam now.
Yeah.
At first, she's still like, oh, my gosh, because she grew up in Louisiana, like, mm-hmm, she's black, sense, but she's still, like, conservative in her, yeah, own way. So, it was just, it's a lot harder with Sam. Like, I haven't had an issue with her, but I've, yeah, had multiple issues with Sam, with his friends. Sophia knows a lot about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, her.
It's been bad a couple times. Yeah. Like, freshman, sophomore year, it was really bad, yeah, with his friends.
I remember you, like, telling me those stories. I, like, literally wanted to vomit.
Yeah.
I feel like that's integral to why I hate him.
Yeah, no. Like, and he would defend me and all, but, like, the thing was, it's, like, it was all coming from his wrestling team. Yeah. So, like, in the end, he could not get away from him just because he has to go to practice every, mm-hmm, day, go to tournaments. So, but he would always defend me, and I'm not the same person I was freshman, sophomore year. I don't take anything from anybody. So,
good.
If I, myself, had been in those shoes, like, 2 years ago, I would, like, have, like, it wouldn't Gone have lasted off. As long as it did, but I was, yeah, a lot more meek and more, like, just
timid.
Let people, yeah, I was very timid, so, like, I've just let it happen, but, like, now, mm-hmm, I don't let that shit happen. Chris knows that, Zach knows that, so, it's a lot better now.
I mean, I always get people that are making, because I'm bi, I always get people that make fun of me, because I obviously have really close friends that are girls, like, Kahari, he thought I was gay, because, like, all my close friends are girls, mm-hmm, and, like, I was, like, I have close friends that are guys, but just, like, it's normal to have close girlfriends. Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, but exactly. you act kind of gay, you know what I mean? I was like,
what is that even? Yeah.
So, like, whenever people, like, me and Natalie are obviously really, really close, but I always, like, find myself being really defensive of it whenever I date someone outside of my race, or, like, if I'm friends with someone, like, outside of my race, just because people in my culture are so judgmental. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a line between religion and culture. A lot of Pakistanis are Muslim. Pakistan's a Muslim country. Mm-hmm. And Islam is about being super peaceful and accepting and just, mm-hmm, kind. But the culture is so judgmental. And it's, like, just the immigrant culture in general. Like,
yeah,
judging other people's kids and trying to get your kids ahead. Mm-hmm. So when my mom, like, we're not allowed to date. So obviously she doesn't know who I'm dating or whatever. But she, like, I was talking to her, and I don't want to get married. And she was like, what would you do if I married, like, a black guy or a white guy? And she'd be like, I'd rather you don't get married than marry someone outside of your race. And, I mean, I wish I was surprised, but my brother's dating, like, an Asian girl. Like, he's 20. Like, who gonna tell him?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, just hearing that from her, and her, like, not, her explanation is that she doesn't want me to have to feel like I have to explain my culture to someone, or doesn't want me to, like, feel insecure in my culture, just want someone who understands me. But I know, like, it is deep-rooted in prejudice, and it mm-hmm. is deep-rooted in, like, what are other people gonna say? Just because of her perspective of other people and how she was raised. Like, there's, one of my friends is marrying a white guy, and he converted to Islam for her. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously he believes in the religion, but he converted for her, and, like, that is insane. Like, completely shifting your entire life path and the way you were raised and your entire family mm-hmm. for another person. Like, damn, it really do be like that. But you don't hear that yeah. from the aunties and uncles of the community. All you hear from them is, oh, agore, you really gonna marry a white guy? You really gonna do that to your bloodline? You're not gonna keep it brown? Like, what are your kids gonna do? Are they gonna learn Urdu? Are they gonna learn the Quran? Mm-hmm. Like, what are they gonna eat? Chicken? So, I don't know. I just feel like it's still kind of a problem. Like, I'm your first best friend who's of color. I asked you. I was like, I'm your first best friend of color. And I find that that's the experience with a lot of my white friends. Just because the brown people, especially where we live, they stick to each other.
Yeah.
And can you blame them? Like, the way that we're so, like, expository of our diversity at Mason, like, everyone just feels like they have to stick to themselves. So when I, like, make myself open to, like, everyone, that makes me their first brown friend or their first mm-hmm. Indian friend, or, like, just the person that's supposed to expose them to things, I guess, which can get exhausting, but it's fun most of the time. Okay, so does anyone else have anything to add?
Well, kind of what you were saying about how some of your friends are, like, all your close friends are girls, like, whatever. My mom and I were talking the other day. We were kind of saying how, you know, you have your, you know, your life partner, and whether that be a man or a woman, but, and, like, heaven forbid anything happened to them, because obviously, you know, that's your person.
Mm-hmm.
But she was kind of saying, for girls, she thinks, like, it's really important to have, like, your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know,
they connect you on a way that guys never can.
Exactly. And, like, I don't know if, like, this is the same for your parents, but my mom kind of meets up with her friends probably about, like, once a month.
Yeah.
My dad, like, I had to ask him if he had friends.
No, you know what I'm saying.
Because, like, he, like,
like, they have friends, but they never
socialize.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's a very, like, social person, but, you know, I just never see him with people that he talked about, that he was friends with in college and stuff like that.
No, I know what you mean. So. And my parents, like, they have friends from back home, and obviously my dad has friends, but he's not as, like, he doesn't have as strong of a connection with them as my mom does, mm-hmm. I feel like. Just because as a woman, like, I love my guy friends. My guy friends are great. They're so fun. But I can never truly talk to them. Yeah. I can never truly have a conversation with them. And I can never truly explain to them how I feel. Because, you know, whether they be conservative, like, liberal, they don't understand where I'm coming from. And I hate to say it, but, like, girls are just more emotional than guys, especially during high school.
Mm-hmm.
Guys have emotional capacity, despite what they've been told, like, their whole lives. But once they graduate and once they, like, get older, they start to develop that side of themselves more. But at this stage, it's like, if you start crying in front of them, they don't know what to do. They, like, go on overdrive. They're like, oh my god, what's happening? Like, stop crying, why are you crying? Do you want something? Do you need ice cream? I'm like, no, it's fine, this is normal. Crying is a normal thing that people do. Like, you can cry. Just because you're don't have a vagina doesn't mean you can't cry.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, I feel like that's, like, where a big part of where that comes from. So that's why, just because I'm bi, it makes me feel really gross that I have to be insecure with my girlfriends, just because I don't want to make them uncomfortable. Like, with Natalie and Yamha and Ellie, like, I don't care. I know you guys are fine.
Yeah.
But with other girls, like, if I don't want to comment on someone's body. I don't want to comment on, like, the way they look or anything, just because I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. Like, obviously, I mean it from a completely platonic place.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had so many of my friends that I thought were close friends be like, so do you have, like, a crush on me? Are you, like, into me? Yeah. Or, like, are you dating Natalie? Like, someone literally asked me if we were dating. Really? And I was like, no, they're my friends. Just like you have friends.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends, and it's when I was straight, when I was straight, air quotes, all my guy friends, like, people thought that I was dating them. So, I don't know, I think just friendships and relationships in high school in general, it's like a tangly little web.
It is.
Definitely is.
You're right.
Good convo. Where are we at? We're at 19 minutes. We have, like, another 20 minutes. So, all right. Can we talk about college real quick?
we can try.
We can try, but like, okay. You two are high school seniors. Me, like, graduates.
I'm not repeating senior year.
I am sorry. I am, but like, me and Natalie are going into junior year. I mean, do you guys just have like any advice that you want to give? Because most of the people that listen to this are younger.
I think one common misconception about college is that once you know where you're going, you have things figured out.
Yeah,
which is not true. Not true at all.
Yeah,
because you don't. And mine and Kennedy's case, we're going out of state.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not only going to be meeting new people, but I mean...
It's going to be a completely new environment.
Exactly. It's going to be new... Not... I mean, culture's not the right word, but new...
It is a different culture, though. Like,
yeah.
When you switch from one state to another, even mm-hmm. though you're still in America, there's different places to eat. There's different... And most mm-hmm. people that... Like, when you go out of state, most people there are... in state.
Right.
All their family is there. They know all the restaurants. They know, like, the culture of this. They know what music everyone listens to and, like, the references. Like, if you're from Tennessee and then you go to Ohio State, if someone goes, OH, you're gonna sit there and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But I guess,
so,
like, what I, like, there's still so much that you don't know. Like,
yeah.
You don't know
just the
who
unknown.
Your friends are gonna be. You don't know, you have a major picked out, but...
If you're lucky.
Yeah, but I've heard so many stories about people switching majors. People switching majors their junior year of college.
Like, yeah.
I mean, there's so much that you still haven't figured out yet.
Uncertainty. Yeah. And that's, like, amplified when you go out of state. Like, going in-state, that's already a big thing, but, like, for where we go, there's just some colleges that are literally just all people from our high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, takes away a lot of the uncertainty, because mm-hmm. it feels like you're just going back on your high school campus for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, Kennedy, you're going to North Carolina, right?
NIT, yes.
Are you scared?
I'm not scared, actually, because, I mean, Mason is a PWI, a lot of white people, and I'm going to a historically black college, which
means... What's a PWI?
Predominantly white institution.
Go off.
Yeah. And I'm going to an HBCU for college, which is a historically black college, which means not everyone there is black.
That's
like,
a big shift.
Yeah.
Holy
shit. You didn't know that?
I haven't researched where you're going.
Well, not everybody there is black.
No, but like, they have a lot of roots in that.
Well, 98% of the class is black. So I'm going to be with like people who actually look like me for
That's
once.
That's crazy.
I know. I won't be a minority. It's awesome. So, like, I'm not scared. I guess, like, my biggest fear is honestly just guys. Because I don't care what anyone says. Like, white guys and black guys are very different.
Who is saying they're the same? Because I can talk.
No, everyone says they're the same, which, like, we should see them as the same because they're human. But, like, the way they approach you is a lot different.
It's different.
Yeah, like, I had to approach Sam. That's how, like...
Yeah.
But, like... That's not the case with black guys.
I mean, there's
usually.
Exceptions, sure,
exactly.
But, like, the
as a
rule.
Whole, yeah, as a whole, like, it's just a different environment. And so I guess that's what I'm more scared for, especially since, like, I'm trying to, like, keep things going with Sam, possibly.
Oh, my
we
gosh,
don't have to
shut
get
the
into
fuck
that.
Up.
We don't have to get into that. But, so I guess that's just my biggest fear. But it's going to be really nice just to be around people who look like me, who think like me.
Dude, I'm so excited for you because, like, Mason truly, truly is... super white and super Caucasian. I don't care what anyone says. Just because there's a couple brown people does not make it diverse whatsoever.
No.
There is no diversity at Mason.
Yeah.
And that's not, like, we live in Ohio. Like, what the, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? But, like, going to an institution that has roots in being historically black and having that, like, large population, like, that's, like, a big transition.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you to, like, have... people that are gonna understand you in a way that like a lot of your friends here can't.
Exactly.
That's crazy,
like,
man.
The integrative.
I mean, I wish I could find that in Mason, but I'm like so isolated from the Indian and Pakistani, just Asian in general community here, just because like they think I'm too white. They think I'm like really like outgoing and I don't care enough about my grades, and I'm like, they just don't see me as like an actual brown person and
like a typical
like your typical brown person. I guess like I have a D in geometry, like that should really that should tell you how Asian I truly am. But like I'm more into English and like I have strengths in places that I guess most brown people don't, or like my parents are different or I'm an actual immigrant. Like, I'm not first generation. So I feel like there's just a lot of division between me and them. And I have, like, my small group of brown friends. Like, if you go on my Instagram, like, you can, there can all fit in one selfie. It's a good way to describe it. And then, like, we have, like, the Muslim community. Like, I have the masjid. And, like, obviously, I have that huge community with me. But it still feels like they all judge me. And they all, like, they like looking at my Instagram because it's funny. But then deep down, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, my God, thank God I'm not her. Like, thank God I'm not, like, in that place in my life. Like, I'm glad my parents raised me better. So, like, that division between me and my race, like, it all, like, being in America in the first place already gives me, like, an identity crisis because I'm like, am I Pakistani? Am I American? Am I British? Like, what's going on? Like, I don't even know where I'm from or, like, where I'm supposed to be from. But, yeah, that's what I'm just like, I'm really excited for you to have that environment.
It's exciting.
Natalie, you don't know what you want to do, do you?
No, I do not.
Like, that's okay. Yeah. You know, like, a lot yeah. of people don't figure it out. And, yeah. like, you just have to know that there's a lot of options. Yeah. And, like, a lot of very specific options that you really wouldn't think about.
Mm. There's a scholarship for left-handed people.
Yep. Really? That's what I'm saying.
There's a scholarship for people with red hair and freckles.
Yeah. Scholarship for twins, triplets, yeah. for... literally everything, but like just in terms of majors, like there's so many things
that's
you can do.
That's kind of the scary part of it, though, because then like,
it's like when you go to Cheesecake Factory and you don't know what you want, and the menu is just so big, and you're like, oh my god, what am I gonna get? It's a good analogy.
It was a good analogy.
I was not expecting it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like cause a lot of things is like when you pick a college, it's typically because like they have a good program for what you want to do.
But you don't know what you want.
Yeah, so I don't even have like a category of college that I want to go to. Like, well, I don't have any kind of clue at all.
At that point, then you just have to look at your local cheaper schools, like a UC, or like if you can get money for like OSU something. I know it's not like maybe where you don't want to go, but there's no point in spending that money out of state.
And if there's not a reason.
And if you don't know what you're going to do. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
because, like, Kennedy's going to A&T, and they have an amazing engineering program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Sophie. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Going to
describe your majors.
I'm going to Tennessee for supply chain management. And Tennessee is one of the top leading supply chain organizations in the country. So, like, that, you know.
Kennedy, what are you majoring in again?
Chemical engineering.
That's crazy.
It's so cool.
Oh, it's going to be tough.
Like,
it's
I want to major in poli sci and then go to law school.
Do it.
You know what's a really good school for that? OSU.
I know, but
they're thriving.
Okay, but the thing is, like, is OSU going to accept me? No. Am I going to sneak out of their campus?
Stop.
Maybe.
No, stop. Because I have someone, I'm not going to name names. She got into OSU. Her ACT is in the high teens, which is not good, which is not a very good ACT. It's in the high teens.
Right, but she had, like, a really good essay, right?
And you can write, can't
you? Yeah, you're such a good
writer. Exactly. You
but
can
like,
write.
Can I
know? And she got the moral scholarship and got a full ride to OSU. So it's not all, it's really not all about your grades. Trust me. If you're trying to go to Harvard, Stanford, Yale, yes, it's all about your grades.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not going to Harvard, Stanford, or Yale, are you?
No, not anymore, baby.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, colleges really... You can get in.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a 36. That's not what they preach to you either. They would rather see a kid who's really well-rounded and bad grades than this kid who just did all this stuff for grades and, like, was in no clubs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I know what you mean.
Just please remember that. Please. Please do not
definitely
get down
on
yourself.
Yeah.
Do not.
I mean, and I want to practice in New York and, like, go to law school there. But, like, honestly, like, do I? like what you were saying earlier, there's just so much uncertainty in this point of your life. But, like, obviously, your whole life, you have all this uncertainty. Mm. It feels like right now, it doesn't make any sense because we're not prepared for it. You know what I mean? Like, we're literally still kids. Like, we can't legally drink. We can't legally smoke. We can't even fucking vote. But you want us to, like, decide what to do with the rest of our lives?
Yeah. Like, why don't you start a practice somewhere you're comfortable and then...
Well,
once you have it established, you can pick up a
move. I mean, that would be nice, but, like, you need to get your license in the state that you want to practice in. And
sorry.
What?
Keep going.
What was the reason?
It's just frozen. It's bothering me.
Okay. Kennedy was pointing to her smoothie bowl because she might be black,
bowl.
But on the inside.
On the inside, we all know
it's
I'm Mason.
All Caucasian.
It's all Caucasian. But when I go to A&T,
I mean...
I'm gonna stop holding up peace signs like I am.
I mean, okay, the thing is with me being a legacy, that's, I talk about it all the time with my close friends, but just because that drove me to dark places. And a legacy, if you don't know, it's like your family members went to an Ivy League so you can, like, possibly go to an Ivy League, but you have, like, a higher chance. But just, like, hearing people tell me, that, like, when I had my interviews, tell me that I didn't deserve to be there because I was a legacy, or, like, I got it from both sides, you know what I mean? Like, like the white rich 1% of that college being like, oh, you can't go here because you aren't like us, like you aren't super rich, which, oh my god, I am so blessed. Like, I live in this amazing house, I have everything I could ever possibly need, like I'm ridiculously blessed, but I'm not in the top 1%, you know what I mean? Like, to them, I'm not upper class, I guess, despite the fact that I think I'm easily like the richest person in the world, like everything that I have, it's amazing, but like the way they perceive me is not belonging there. And then from the other side, like, even my closer friends, like, they were just pissed off. They're like, why do you get an advantage just because of your family? And it's really problematic. I understand that, like, legacy in the first place is really problematic. But, like, it's not like I'm this really rich, like, white girl who, like, isn't smart and doesn't know how to do anything. Which, oh my god, that sounds so fucked up. But that's what they see it as. Like, that's what they see legacies as. Like, you can be a cheerleader and not have the best grades in the world, but still have, like, all these amazing personality traits and all this amazing, like, character. And you could, like, own the most amazing boutique in the world. Like, like, do you. But just because I am a legacy, I felt like, do I actually belong here? Because no one was telling me that I did. Mm-hmm. So, like, that drove me to a really, really dark place. And I started, like, tanking my own grades and, like, not even letting myself succeed just because the possibility of me not going to Princeton or Harvard or Yale was just too much. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided, like, I actually took a step back and I was like, I'm just going to do what I want
to
do.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to be your own person. In the right. end, like, a legacy is amazing. But if that's not who you are and what you're going to do, then don't do it. You know what I mean?
And that's when I started this company. Like, that's when I started Your Local Brown Girl. That's when I started doing stuff with my comedy and, like, doing stand-up or, like, I started working for a vocal coach. Like, you can ask Natalie. I was doing so many things that were so far from education that it started, like, taking people aback. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you good? Because eighth grade, that's, like, I got all D's and F's my first semester. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of just, like, a cry for help. Like, I was just, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I was in middle school. And then this year was, like, really, really rough for me. And this was the year that I kind of, like, accepted that my life path isn't going to be what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And it isn't going to be what I planned out for myself to be. Like, I went through, what was it, 3 suicide attempts this year. That, in a year, that's a record or something. Like, that's going to be. And it took me forever and it took me all the serotonin in the world for me to realize that, like, maybe I'm not the problem. Maybe it's the system that I'm in that's the problem. Maybe it's the surroundings that I have that are the problem. And when you start realizing that you are not at fault all of the time, not necessarily placing the blame on other people, but just letting yourself be who you are, no matter what your circumstances, and letting yourself be the best possible version of yourself, education-wise and, like, personal life-wise, like, that's when you're going to really succeed.
Yeah. And, like, kind of going off that on, like, a smaller scale. So we got our freshman letters back in our last senior homeroom. And just seeing how different my life went from what I thought it was going to. Well, first of all, I wrote something about wanting to, you know, like, remembering my senior night for basketball. I quit after sophomore year.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I wanted to go to Stanford. I wanted to go to law school. I'm going to University of Tennessee for supply chain management.
That's crazy.
What else did I write on there? Oh, yeah, I wanted to have, and I think this kind of goes back to, like, you know, just kind of the culture and the atmosphere at Mason. I was like, I wanted to have at least a 4.5 GPA. It didn't end up with that. Just, like, stuff like that. So, like, even though it's kind of dialed back a little bit, like,
but you guys are, you're still so successful. Like, obviously, they don't know, but, like, Sophia is really smart and, like, really well put together no matter, like, if she goes to Stanford for law school or whatever. Like, I, like, look up to you guys. Like, you guys are both, like, really, really smart and, like, not necessarily know what you're doing, but, like, you know that what you end up doing is gonna be, like, fine. Like, I don't know. I really admire that in people. Like, self-assurance, I guess, despite, like, whether or not, no matter how actually self-assured you are, like, being able to project that you care and, like, project that self-assurance. Because I've never been able to do that. People think I'm really confident, but they know that at the end of the day, I'm, like, a mess.
Well, like, one thing for that is I actually learned this in one of my business classes my senior year. Like, people say it all the time, but fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
If you,
oh, totally.
You know, if you're faking it, you're going to start believing that yourself. And you're going to start to... you know, be able to apply that
literally,
to
yeah,
actual,
no, that's
to your life,
that's facts.
So I mean, you just have to not, I mean, it's a lot easier said than done is the only hard part, mm-hmm. about that.
Like, in seventh grade, super quiet, didn't sit with anyone at lunch, didn't have any friends. I don't, like, obviously no one watching knows me now, but like, I'm really confident now. Like, I'm leading a lot of clubs. I'm doing a lot of cool stuff. I own my own company. That is a production company. Production companies are being the most social you can be. Mm-hmm. So, I think, like, what to take from this is that uncertainty is, like, one of the best gifts that you're given in life, despite the fact that it's one of the worst things that you experience, mm-hmm. because of just the anxiety and stuff behind it. So, like, whether it be uncertainty with your white boyfriend, who I hate, or with your family, that because you can't communicate with them, or college, or after college, or yeah. if you're 67 and you don't know if you can retire, like, it's gonna carry with you your whole life, but it's gonna be what you make it.
But imagine how awful it would be to know exactly what was gonna happen in your life and you couldn't change it.
Yeah,
like that would like that's where your life was gonna go, you know, like,
yeah.
and you like you would have no way of really
exactly
changing it. So I think,
I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, it's just, you have to let it, you have to let you shape it. You can't let mm-hmm. it shape you.
Yeah.
Good place to stop, guys. I mean, okay, any last notes? Anything anyone wants to say? As per usual, thank you, Natalie, for not talking at all. Your presence is comforting.
Okay.
No, but you literally, like, she never talks on these episodes. It's so funny. Like,
really
whenever
don't.
I'm like, Natalie is here, by the way. And then she's like, hi. And I'm like, and that's all she'll be saying. All right, but thank you guys so much for listening to this episode
thank
of Real Local Brown
us.
Girl
thank
podcast.
You.
I'm Aisha.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Kennedy.
Catch you next time.